We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious portion of the Word which you've given us. We pray that you would cause the Word to become engrafted to save our souls, give all of us eyes that can see and ears that can hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speaker phones and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. Our service this morning is coming from the homes of one of our children here in Delano, Minnesota. And we'd like to invite you all to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to be wrapping up the chapter this morning, verses 18 and 19. Which in the King James Version reads this way: "And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Looking ahead, there were many, many, many reasons why God could have said they're not going to enter into his rest. But really, it all boiled down to unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17, the Holy Spirit reminded the Hebrew people that sin was the cause of Israel's destruction in the wilderness. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And now here in verses 18, the Holy Spirit specifies exactly what sin he is talking about. It's the sin of unbelief, which, as we're going to find out, really is the only sin that condemns. That's it. "And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The order of Israel's destruction here in this chapter is extremely instructive. It's a four-step process. Step number one, they did not listen to God's voice. Step number two, their heart was hardened. Step number three, the hardening of their heart resulted in unbelief. And the fourth tragic step, their unbelief ended with their destruction. Now the word, the Greek word translated "believed not" in Hebrews 3 verse 18 can also be translated "obeyed not." It's translated that way in Romans 2, verse 8, and Romans 10, verse 21. Those verses read this way: "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey," same word as "believed not," "did not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." So there the word is translated "do not obey." And in Romans 10, 21, "But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." No matter which way you translate it, they believed not or obeyed not, it amounts to the same thing. Looking at it from a little different angle, looking at it from the heart, it's unbelief. Looking at it from man's free will and how he lives, it's disobedience. But in either case, it's a refusal to hear God's word. The application to the Hebrews that are being written to in this epistle should have been striking. Two times in these verses, the term 40 years is mentioned. The 40 years of wandering in the wilderness during which they were destroyed, it was a time of probation. The number 40 in Scripture is a time of testing and probation. And right now, at the time when the Hebrews are being given this epistle, they are coming very, very close to the 40th year after Jesus Christ had been crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. And during that 40 period of time, if you were looking only with the human eyes, it seemed like there wasn't much difference in what was happening. The temple was still in full bloom. Services were being conducted. The sacrifices were being done. But that was going to come to a screeching halt when the Roman army conquered the Holy Land and tore the temple to shreds and burned it to the ground. So their time of probation is almost over. What we're going to do right now, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to motor through this. We are going to take a whirlwind tour through those 40 years in the wilderness. And we're going to look from Scripture at 12 things that Israel did, any one of which God could have used as a reason to not let them into the promised land. But he boiled it down to unbelief. Okay, so here we go. Starting out. It started down in Egypt, by the way, before they had even been freed from Pharaoh. Jeremiah 44, verses 7 through 10. They were worshiping other gods. That's how it got started. Wherefore now this saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel. Wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls. You're not sinning against God, you're sinning against your souls. To cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. In that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and of your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even to this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. So, you know, this was not a one-shot thing where they slipped once and that was it. This was a 40-year period which had already started down in Egypt and lasted through the whole 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It was a constant thing. Number two, at Marah, the bitter water. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And there they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. What did they do? And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore was the name of it called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" There, that word murmur is characteristic of the children of Israel during the whole 40 years of wandering. Constantly murmuring, griping, moaning, complaining, either against Moses or against God, but never praying to God for deliverance. Number three, at the wilderness of Sin, aptly named, Exodus 16, verses 1 to 3 and verse 8. Now they had nothing to eat, for it was nothing to drink, now it's nothing to eat. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. There's that word again. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And then verse 8, Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." Example number four. They came to Rephidim in Horeb. Again, no water. What do they do? Exodus 17, verses 1 through 4. And all the congregation of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Example number 5 at Mount Sinai. The golden calf. Exodus 32, starting with verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Notice how they're combining idolatry with a true worship. They're worshiping the golden calf, but at the same time saying, This is a feast to the Lord. The false prophets work the same way today. Okay, continuing. And they rose up early on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. Notice that word. It didn't take long. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Example number 6 at Taberah. Numbers chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Fire from the Lord. This may have resulted in the difference in numbers that we looked at last week, if you recall. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1 and following. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. You know, that mixed multitude is rather interesting. When the children of Israel left Egypt, there was a mixed multitude that followed with them. These were not believers in the Lord God. And the mixed multitude were responsible for a lot of the evils that the children of Israel went into. Then the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Manna was God's provision for them, bread from heaven, a symbol of the word of God. They didn't want that anymore. It's all we got. We weren't satisfied with it. Number 7, at Kibroth Hattaavah, Numbers 11, beginning at verse 31, Now they want to eat the quail. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quail from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth-Hattaavah, because there they buried the children, the people that lusted. A very great number. Now we come to example number 8 at Hazeroth. This one involves a couple of true believers, Aaron and Miriam. Numbers 12, 1 and 2 and verse 10. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And then verse 10, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Example number 9, we come to Kadesh Barnea, where they were ready to go take possession of the promised land and said, we can't do it. Numbers 13, beginning at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. That was Kadesh Barnea. Now in example number 10, back out into the wilderness again. And a shocking example of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Selected verses in number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelah, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These are VIPs. This was a massive rebellion against Moses. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now I'm in verse 23 and following. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get ye up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby shall ye know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have done none of them of mine own hand. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Now going down to verse 46, God's not finished yet. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put the fire then from off the altar, and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is a wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. 14,700 plus the 250 princes and Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their families. Example number 11. To Kadesh in the desert of Zin, Numbers 20, selected verses. Again, no water. You would think they learned their lesson by now, but they didn't. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people did chide with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? This it is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. Now down to verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rod twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And now finally, example number 12, they journey from Mount Hor to Edom. I'm in Numbers chapter 21, selected verses, the fiery serpents and the serpent of brass. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, these are the examples that I found of how the children of Israel were constantly sinning against the Lord God through the whole 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And God could have pointed to any one of these examples, any one of them, and said, that's it. You're not entering into the promised land, my land of rest. But you see, the fact of the matter is that as terrible as all these sins were, they wouldn't condemn. They won't condemn. There is only one sin that condemns, and that's the sin of unbelief. And the Son of God, picking up from the last example that we looked at, the fiery serpents. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So why didn't God mention any of these other things? Because the only sin that damns is unbelief. That's it. And the fact of the matter also is that the Father loves the Son. And whoever rejects the Son is going to be rejected by the Father. The famous third chapter of John ends with these words. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. At this point, in preparation for Holy Communion, we'll sing Create in Me. It's found in the bottom of the Lutheran hymnal, page 22.